Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Cruise Radio is brought to you in part by TripInsurance.com. Travel insurance done right by the people who know travel insurance. Get a quote today at TripInsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Hey, what's up? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Very happy to have you here, my friend. Coming up a little later on in the program, we'll get a review of Carnival Pride. But before we get to Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy, don't forget about Cruise Radio News. It's our Facebook group. Just search Cruise Radio News on Facebook and join in on the cruise news conversation. A little this and that. All right, standing by, Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy. What's up, Stuart?
Hey, Doug, how's it going?
Good, man. Big news, Norwegian Escape, officially Norwegian Cruise Line ship.
It was delivered. Pretty exciting on the 22nd. And it is NCL's largest ship, 164,600 tons, holding 4,200 passengers. And it only took about 17 months of construction from beginning to end.
Very nice. And we'll see it in Miami on November 9th. So looking forward to that for the christening with the godfather, Pitbull. So that's going to be awesome. It's just so funny saying that. Switching gears here, Norwegian Cruise Lines, Norwegian Epic, just underwent a massive refurb. What happened and what did it get?
Well, she returned to service October 19th. Mm-hmm. She was in dry dock for about 3 weeks. She got some, I guess they really, put some significant money into the ship. They upgraded the entertainment, the dining, they had technical operations that were added, and, it's going to be exciting for people sailing in the Mediterranean, coming up. As you know, the Epic right now is year-round in Mediterranean before she returns back to the U.S. next year, but they added some new clubs, the Cavern Club, which is where the Beatles, began in, mm-hmm. in Liverpool. They've got a new musical, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, on board, and they've got some nice. They made some nice additions, to the ship, renovations to their Trascaria, the Cagney's, La Cucina, which is their Italian restaurant, La Bistro, Garden Cafe. So it just, they made some nice upgrades to make the shipboard experience even better. And as you know, Blue Man Group is no longer on board.
Yeah, we always like to talk about areas of mass congestion on cruise ships. Is the flow pretty good on Norwegian Epic? I can't remember.
Well, it did have, they are notorious, meaning NCL, unfortunately, with areas of mass congestion when mm-hmm. you get into, their entertainment and restaurant areas. It just kind of funnels all together, and it becomes very tight in those spaces. So to kind of avoid the traffic jams, you either go up and across and then back down, or you go down, across, and then up. But that area does become congested because there's very little space for people to get around.
Interesting. So it'll be cool to see what Norwegian Escape is like in that regard.
I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah. We'll know in a couple of weeks.
The flow looked very well, nice when I saw it in the shipyard. And they definitely made some upgrades, and you can absolutely—it's rare, Doug, and I wanted to point this out—that it's rare to Frank Del Rio and Andy Stewart, just kind of Andy's been there forever, but Frank just came in. He's the president of the parent company of NCL, and without a doubt, you can see many of his touches, and it's very rare for a new head of a company to come in and have any impact at all on a new build. And, you know, he got into this, you know, in the middle of last year. And you can definitely see some Frank Del Rio touches to the ship that made some improvements. So passengers are going to really benefit from it.
Switching gears to Carnival Corp, they announced a couple of days ago that they're going to be creating a brand unique to China. Give us more details on that.
Well, it was inevitable. You know, it was a question of who was going to do it first. You know, who was going to partner with Chinese entities to create a Chinese branded cruise line. So, for example, we've got Carnival and NCL and Princess and Holland America. And so it was inevitable to create a, you know, with so much tonnage heading to China, to create a national cruise line for China.
Mm-hmm.
So Carnival Corporation created their 11th brand, and they are a minority partner. They're only going to have 40% of the company. 60% is going to be held between China State Shipbuilding Corporation and China Investment Corporation. So we're going to see a lot of acronyms in the future
in dealing with
China. But they're going to be, you know, essentially, you know, heading up the either construction and or acquisition. So we may see, essentially, we might see some new ship orders from Carnival Cruise Line. Again, I'm just, you know, surmising at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly repositioning, maybe this new company would buy some of their old tonnage, like maybe the Fantasy Class for Carnival, and move that to start the fleet, you know, out there in China for, you know, the company yet to be named. But it's definitely an interesting beginning of what we'll see. It should, you know, they're definitely going to need to start building new ships. The ceremony was done with the president of China, as well as the prime minister of England, and you know, lots of new things you know, coming. But they're very excited about the opportunity in China, as we've seen with so many new ship builds going to the region. That you know, hopefully this will be the beginning of the new ship, the large new ship order for that area, and this way it won't, you know, hopefully it won't have any future negative impacts on the U.S. Cruise experiences.
You mentioned that Carnival Corp is going to be a minority shareholder, holding 40% of the company, of the cruise line. Are they still going to run it, though?
They are going to operate it.
Okay.
But, you know, we're still waiting. I mean, they haven't announced what the operational procedures. I mean, 40% is still a tremendous amount. Carnival Corp does have the vast experience.
Last but not least here, two celebrity cruise ships are undergoing a refurb. One's happening right now as we speak. One of the parts of the refurb is they're removing the classic ocean liner venues from two of the ships, and it's got a lot of the maritime purists up in arms. What are your thoughts about this?
The venues are very small, and mm-hmm. I hope that Celebrity / Royal Caribbean will do something with the artifacts. From, you know, because, I mean, they do have some museum-quality artifacts in these ships. I mean, I could tell you my wife was involved with Millennium.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they were thrilled to find, you know, artifacts from the sister ship, the Titanic.
Uh-huh.
And that was the, you know, the basis for the very first restaurant. And they found the wood paneling of the ship in a flat in England, and they had light fixtures, and I mean, so they've got museum quality artifacts from these ships. So Infinity is going to be losing the SS United States, which is the fastest cruise ship ever built. It is unfortunately still in existence, but is in decaying and risk of being scrapped. So if you've been along the Delaware River off the coast of Philadelphia, you would have seen the SS United States, which is, you know, it looks like it could be heading to the scrapyard finally. And the Normandy is going to be removed on board Celebrity Summit and replaced by the Tuscan Grill. So there's going to be some really nice enhancements. The suites are going to be upgraded on board the ship, Doug, and both ships are going to have somewhat, you know, they're going to have an outdoor venue that they're going to call it the Rooftop Terrace, which is going to be a really nice, relaxing venue, and it will be the introduction of the outdoor video screen. So in a way that they're going to be princess-sized, meaning the outdoor video screens debuted on board Princess Cruises back in 2004 on Caribbean Princess. So almost every ship in the world now today is being built with video screens, and a lot of ships during refurbishments do find places to add them. So this way, people can watch different shows and programming and enjoy it. And, these are very pretty areas, and it will greatly enhance the passenger experience.
We've been talking with Stuart Chiron, the Cruise Guy. Find him online at cruiseguy.com or follow him on Twitter at Cruise Guy. Thank you, bud.
Hey, my pleasure.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
Every day, thousands of cruisers set sail to the Caribbean and are increasingly choosing their shore excursions through cruisingexcursions.com. Why cruising excursions? With prices up to 60% lower than cruise lines, around-the-clock customer service, and guarantees that give you a peace of mind, why not? So whether you're looking to zipline in Jamaica, snorkel in Nassau, or see Mayan ruins in Mexico, market-leading specialist cruisingexcursions.com has you covered. Book your family's next shore excursion at cruisingexcursions.com.
So we always like to get your cruise reviews. If you have one you'd like to share, shoot me an email, doug@cruiseradio.net. Like Jonathan did, him and his family just returned from a 7-night Caribbean cruise aboard Carnival Pride out of Baltimore. And Jonathan's on the line this evening. How's it going, Jonathan?
Wonderful. Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for offering to share your review of Carnival Pride. So before we step foot on the ship, let's take a step back and talk about some pre-cruise thoughts. What made you want to sail Carnival Pride?
Actually, we chose the Pride because of the proximity to where we live, and also because we actually planned the trip to Disney this year, but due to the fact that we could cruise for so much cheaper, and the relaxation, of course, we decided to go with the Pride instead.
Based on comparing Disney to a cruise, was a cruise like thousands of dollars cheaper?
I would say with travel, since we're about 16 hours drive from Orlando, between the travel and the money we would spend eating it, on property and all, we probably saved about $2,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's good. That's plenty of savings there. So let's talk about getting to the port. You're over in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and you had to head over to Baltimore. So logistically, how did you get there?
It's just a quick trip right down 95. We're about 45 minutes north, and we're only probably 15, 20 minutes off of 95 where we live. So just hop on the interstate and head south.
Did you keep your vehicle at the port, or did you use any park and cruise lots or anything?
We actually stayed at the port. We've parked there before. It's very, very efficient. Super easy to get to right off the interstate. And I think it's about $12 a day for the week.
Hey, so, that's not bad.
Very easy.
Yeah, very nice. So you get to the port of Baltimore and you go to get on the ship. How was embarkation there for you?
The port of Baltimore is excellent with embarkation. We've also sailed out of Port Canaveral. And we find that, and probably because it's so much less people, but we've sailed out of Baltimore a few times, and the embarkation was flawless. I would say from the time we were let in the gate to dropping off our luggage and checking in was probably about 30 minutes.
Nice, nice. Very quick there. So you get on board the ship. What were your first impressions of Carnival Pride?
Well, the first thing that we thought aboard the Carnival Pride was, welcome home.
Mm-hmm.
We've been on 4 Carnival cruises now, and it just gives you that same warm feeling when you get on. We were very impressed with the cleanliness of the ship and the friendliness of the crew. Everybody seemed more than happy to help you along, and we were really, really impressed with the ship and the way it looks for its age.
So you make your way to your stateroom. What kind of stateroom did you have, and what were your impressions of it?
Well, we actually booked a extended balcony,
nice.
Forward. Our cabin number was 7161. We were on the 7th floor, starboard side.
Mm-hmm.
And, we really liked it. We've stayed in balconies before, but never an extended balcony. I do think, though, I would not opt to pay the extra for the extended balcony again,
mm-hmm.
simply for the fact that On the Spirit class ships, which the Pride is one, you actually, if you're staying in an extended balcony, your whole cabin is recessed into the ship a little bit, mm-hmm. and you actually look straight down. You can see the lifeboats below you. Whereas if you go with a standard balcony, you're looking down straight at the ocean. So I think I would prefer the balcony room, you know, over the extended balcony.
How about square footage with the cabin itself? Is that the same?
This one felt a little more cramped, actually, but mm-hmm. I don't know the actual numbers. I would say if it does vary, it's very little.
Yeah.
You can actually tell walking down the hallway that the entire hall and everything is recessed in. Mm. So it's not just the cabin is shortened. It's the whole cabin is pushed inward some. That whole section of hallway is recessed into the ship a little bit. And they do that to make room for the lifeboats. But the balcony was definitely bigger. It was about 50% bigger. You know, not really big enough to change your plans at all. But, mm-hmm. You know, there was definitely more room out there for three of us to enjoy.
Yeah, I was going to say there was three of y'all. It was your wife and your kid on this one. How was it with three people in that balcony stateroom? Was there plenty of room? And what did you think of the space inside?
Oh, yeah. We actually spent quite a bit of time in the cabins relaxing. And, you know, again, this was our fourth cruise, so we're kind of getting to that point where we don't have to do everything.
Yeah, right.
So we spent a little bit of time, you know, relaxing. And really, there was no problem at all in the cabin. We had no cramping issues or anything like that. We didn't mind it at all.
Nice. Well, let's talk about the dining aboard Carnival Pride. Carnival Pride underwent Funship 2.0, I believe, a couple years ago, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start at the top there in the Lido deck area and kind of work our way around there for the Funship 2.0 additions like the Guy's Burger joint and the Blue Iguana Cantina. So what did you think about the Lido deck food?
Well, you know, it's funny. Because of the 2.0 upgrades, mm-hmm. We never even had a chance to try the standard fare buffet food. You know, such as the Mediterranean cuisine and the Italian,
yeah.
that they always do the chef's choice. We just, because of Guy's Burgers in the cantina, we ate there every day. I did try the Chinese area there. It was very, very good, better than your average Chinese restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't use the deli. We did eat the pizza. They have changed the pizza from what it was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as big of a fan, but it was still very good, and we ate it nearly every night.
Yeah. Nice. And how about the main dining room? Did you go in there at all?
Yes. We ate at the main dining room every night. We started out with, we were waitlisted for the early seating, and we did not get that. We ended up getting Mai Tai dining, which was okay.
Mm-hmm.
We arrived every night for dinner at 6 o'clock, and we walked right into our seat. There was never a wait. It was very nice. I will say that if you're looking for the more relaxed pace, you know, you want to definitely get the standard dining, either early or late. If you go with the Mai Tai dining, it's very much like an Applebee's type atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
And it's very, you know, one waiter and it's kind of rushed. So if you want to be more relaxed, you definitely want to go with, you know, the early or the late seating.
So what was your favorite meal in the main dining room?
I'd have to say the steak. We tried the flat iron steak,
mm-hmm.
and as well as the filet and the ribs. Their meat, their cut of meat was very, very good. We thoroughly enjoyed the steak. I wasn't crazy about some of the odd choices on the menu, such as the Did You Ever choices and some of the cold soups. We kind of stuck to the more basic stuff, but it was all very, very good.
You mean no frog legs or cow tongue for you?
No cow tongue. Matter of fact, I went around the table and tried to get someone to try it. You know, no one was interested.
Yeah.
We stuck to the basics.
Nice. And you were on one of the lucky cruises because you had over five-night sailing, so you had lobster still, right?
Yes, we did have lobster. My wife is a big seafood fan. I am not.
Mm-hmm.
But she did have the lobster, and then she did very much enjoy the lobster.
Yeah, nice. I was on Carnival Sunshine a couple weeks ago, and we did not get the lobster. So I was like,
really?
Yeah, because Carnival now cut lobster from any sailings that are less than six nights. There,
correct.
So there's all that going on. Okay, cool. Well, moving on here, let's go to entertainment because it is Funship 2.0. So there is the Playlist Productions and the Hasbro game show and all that on board. So what do you think of the entertainment options offered?
Actually, we really enjoyed the change. I know a lot of people have said they're not crazy about the Playlist Productions, but we really enjoyed it. And the thing that really stood out to me right away was when, you know, in the past, when you went to the lounge for the show, you would get there and there'd be a moment of bingo or 20 minutes of pre-show. However, when you got to the lounge early, there was already someone singing or a comedian or anything like that, warming the crowd up. And we thought that was very nice.
Cool. How about the venues outside of the lounge, like around the ship? What did you think of the entertainment options there?
We actually really enjoyed it. We tried the Red Frog Rum Bar, well, actually the Red Frog Pub. We really enjoyed that. They had a group in there called the Ooh La La's, and you know, they were pretty good. We enjoyed them. The EA Sports Bar was very nice. I love the big TVs. Spent some time there. So all in all, the entertainment was very good. And I one thing that I didn't think I would enjoy as much as I did was the DJ. The usual DJ selections the music was so much better on Lido Deck with the DJ.
Did your son spend any time in Camp Carnival?
Very little time. We actually took him one day to drop him off for a little while in the middle of the cruise. But because it was the Dr. Seuss parade day, there was no drop-off. It was only parents and kids alike in there. But he spent about an hour there with my wife and did some trivia. And he actually really enjoyed it. I think if we would have spent more time there, he would have really liked it. But we just didn't have the time. The states are busy.
Right. Yeah, very nice. Well, let's talk about the ship at sea. How did it behave at sea as far as passenger flow, both inside and outside by the pool?
The ship behaved very well at sea. Honestly, I kind of like the venues better on the bigger ships, but I love the way these smaller ships act at sea. You know, we really had a really rough day going down because of Hurricane Joaquin, and a lot of people were sick, and the ship was quite empty, to be honest. But by Tuesday, everyone was out. It was a full crowd, and you really never had to wait time for anything, whether it's food or the water slides. There was never really a line. So it does a very good job of keeping the passengers moving. One thing I'll say, we did more this time than we've ever done as variety. This was the first time I'd ever done trivia. It was the first time we'd ever gone to any of the drawings for 3D Glory and that sort of thing. These little things that I didn't think would be very well attended, there was people at all these things, you know, fully attended. And so the ship did a very good job of keeping everybody occupied and entertained across the board.
Wow, so you were right in the middle of Hurricane Joaquin there. Was it, I mean, how was it as far as, like, was the ship rocking and rolling because of the hurricane?
Well, actually, we sailed out on Sunday, and Joaquin was headed toward Bermuda at that time. The cruise just before us ended up with 6 sea days because of the hurricane.
Oh.
So we thought we were in the clear, but once we hit open water, it was rocking. I mean, it was the roughest cruise I've been on yet. My father-in-law was with us, and he actually sailed on the Pride during Hurricane Sandy. And they actually sort of kind of got stuck in that storm coming back. And he said it was just as bad, or close to being just as bad as that storm was. I was doing log rolls in the bed when I woke up Monday morning.
Wow. So,
but all in all, it was a very good ride. I mean, it didn't last too long. I would say by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it was much smoother. We had outran it, and after that, no problem at all, smooth as glass. But it was a rough ride for about 8 hours.
Weather like that, for you personally, does it scare the heck out of you, or do you like the thrill of it?
You know, it's funny you ask, because I've always wanted to sail through something like that. And, you know, I thought it'd be just so cool to ride through a storm like that. But Monday, I actually climbed up to deck 10, which is the sun deck right at the bottom of the funnel. And I could see the front of the ship going up in the air, lifting to the left, coming down through, you know, the bottom of the wave, and then correcting itself. And just the sheer force of that water scared the heck out of me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still really enjoyed the ride. But when it was over, I was thankful. And one thing I will say, had they postponed or canceled this cruise because of the weather, I would have been very upset.
Yeah.
But going forward, if that ever happens, I will not question them at all.
Right. Yeah, totally. So let's move on here and talk about what ports you hit on this sailing.
We actually hit, let's see, Grand Turk was our first port, and Half Moon Cay, and Freeport, Bahamas was our third port. Had beautiful weather at all three. Grand Turk, we actually had did 2 excursions. We did the ultimate snorkel, and we booked back to the ship. Which was incredible time. We had beautiful fish and lots of things to see. And the snorkel instructors were actually teaching us how to free dive. It was really neat. And then after that, we actually had a cabana at the Margarita Pool.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Margaritaville Pool. And if you've ever had a cabana, I would highly recommend it, because actually enclosed was air conditioned. And it was so hot there that I don't imagine we would have stayed out there very long without somewhere to go. We had hoped to go check out Jack Shack based on your recommendations, but because of the cabana, we stayed there throughout the day. And you can actually order food right from the cabana from Margaritaville, so it was pretty nice.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, the cabanas, are those rentals through the ship or through Margaritaville?
They rented through the ship. My father-in-law and mother-in-law actually rented it. I believe it was around $150 for the day.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's air-conditioned, and you can order, there's a call button, and you order the barmaid or the waitress will come right to your cabana and take your order and bring your food to you. So it was very nice.
They rented it, and you crashed it.
yeah, absolutely. Happened to you, same thing. We rented a cabana there. Well, they rented a cabana there, which I'm sure you're aware. Half Moon Key cabanas are three-sided. They don't have the enclosed door.
Right.
But we were very lucky to have that because a big storm came up while we were in port, and it just came out of nowhere, and it rained pretty heavily for about 25 minutes. And I would say probably half the ship went back to the ship, and we stayed in that cabana, and after that was over, the beach was very quiet for the rest of the day. It was very nice.
What about Freeport?
Freeport, we've done a few things there in the past. Not real impressed with Freeport, so we got off and shopped right there in the local shops and got back on board. Kind of hoped to treat it like a free day, really, but I think everyone else had the same idea. The ship was hopping that day. I mean, not many people got off and went anywhere, it didn't seem.
Nice. Well, in closing here, do you have any first-time tips for people who are sailing on Carnival Pride or doing the same itinerary you did?
Yes, I would say definitely book the cabana at Half Moon Key or at Grand Turk. Because of the weather, the heat, it's a must-have. It's so worth it. You also get priority tendering at Half Moon Key if you book the cabana. So I would definitely recommend that. I would also say don't arrive at the cruise terminal too early. The Pride is the only ship in that day. And we arrived at 10 o'clock in the morning. We were actually second in line to enter the gate. We still did not board till about 12:30. So, you know, we got checked in quickly, but then there was a wait to get on board. Don't arrive too early. If you get there around 11, you'll be good. And then, don't miss Guy's Burgers or the Cantina, the Bulgona Cantina, because we spent most of our meals there.
Nice. I guess the big question would be, since you were there so early, were you the first person in the Red Frog pub?
No, we were not. To be honest, we didn't even bother trying because there were so many people there that were Diamond and Platinum.
Mm-hmm.
And also because of the Faster to the Fun, which was sold out when we booked. Lots of people had gotten on board. So by the time we boarded the ship, it was pretty well occupied. And so we kind of went to do our own thing at that point. I didn't even bother trying.
Yeah. If Faster to the Fun was available, would you have booked that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And some of the people in our roll call that had it spoke very highly of it. So we're going to try from here on out to always book the Faster to the Fun.
Very nice. We've been talking with Jonathan. Him and his family just returned from a 7-night Caribbean cruise out of Baltimore on Carnival Pride. Jonathan, my friend, thanks for being on the show and good talking to you.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Hear Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, or at cruiseradio.net. For sales and marketing opportunities, email sales@cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.